We remember our foundation is Jesus only. That's what we have to understand, is Jesus only. You know, sometimes in life, I had people say, you know, sometimes it gets lonely when you're by yourself. That benefits some of us, and some of us are lonely even in the midst of family. Sometime when family doesn't love us, that can be a wild thing, even worse when you're with family and they don't care about Jesus. And so we don't want that to happen. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Peter, before the Sanhedrin, he is the stone, the cornerstone, and salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name. And that's one of the things that we saw in some of the songs. It's all about Jesus. Well, you remember John. I think we need to back up here about John. Pick up the story in the Lake Galilee where Jesus was met with the disciples. And this was, if you remember correctly, 7 days after Jesus' resurrection. And Peter had been questioned by the Lord. You remember, do you love me 3 times? Peter finally answered, yes, so sure, I know I do. And we've talked about that. We remember the real reason for this, the 3 times, is because he denied the Lord 3 times, as Jesus predicted he would. To the end, Peter finally agreed and began to forgive himself. You know, that's the hardest thing for all of us, to forgive ourselves. Ever feel guilty about anything? All of us spend some time feeling guilty, right? Some more severe, some less severe. But you know who the source of guilt is. It's the enemy. And he'll use people to say things or not say things to make us feel guilty. And sometimes people use their words to make other people feel guilty. And that can be a real troublesome time when friends or family use words to pile guilt on us. And that's when we really need to seek the Lord to forgive. And then we need to throw away the guilt. Just because they said it doesn't make it true. And people will do that all the time. And we all know that in families where people throw guilt at each other. So anyway, Peter, after the end of this, turned to the Lord and looked at John, the disciple that Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over Jesus during the supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, how does that to you? As for you, you follow me. And you see, that's what we all need to understand. It doesn't matter what God does to someone else or for someone else. The answer is, what about me? What about me? I want you to follow me. And just like he said to Peter, that's what he says to each of us. So then the rumor went among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to me? If. We understand that. John understood that because he was writing this. He was the one that was writing this this explanation. And he knew that God had not told him that he wouldn't die. Now, the early church had an expectation that Jesus would come back again during their lifetime. Possibility that next week we'll look at a couple of verses in 1 John when John also wrote there that he had actually witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was one of those who saw it. But we know that he also was the last disciple to remain alive. But he did die after Patmos and the terrible time that he had there, plus the ecstasy that he had as a witness of what was going on in heaven in Revelation. The rumor spread about John, and John set it straight when he write his commentary here. And then he concludes with this. This disciple is the one who testifies to these events, talking about himself, and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of things is accurate. Says, I stand by what I say. It's accurate because I was there. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. We've sung about that. There's music about that. But the word says that. I'm trying to figure out how the Lord's going to get rid of all of my books. Haven't figured it out yet. Had ideas, but never do them, you know. And then, but let's look at what's going to happen. You know, this was, Jesus was here 40 days after his resurrection. During that 40 days, we only have the record of a couple of events up until the seventh day, basically. So that's what John was talking about, so many other things. I wonder how many other miracles he did during those 40 days. We don't have any record of all of that. But Luke is the one that was writing what we were doing over the last weeks, the book of Luke. And he writes again, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. So that's what he was doing during the 40 days, giving instruction. And during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the disciples from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, John talked about here is John the Baptist. And he baptized people for repentance. And he taught them strongly. You know, you guys repent from your evil and behave yourself. Do what's right. Repent and do good. He told the soldiers, don't collect more pay than you were supposed to. And they were out collecting taxes. Don't collect more than you need to. Just collect what you deserve and what is right. Behave yourself. That's what he was basically saying, John the Baptist. But Jesus said, now I'm going to baptize you with something more important. Not just with water, but the Holy Spirit. Everything about baptism. You know, we talk a lot about baptism. We've talked about it on Wednesday and other nights, times. And there's some churches that like to sprinkle. Yeah, I don't like that either. I don't think that's right. Jesus wasn't sprinkled, was he? Wasn't Jesus dunked? Just like we do in our understanding. So he said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But no, this continued. Luke says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, at this time, are you going to come to free Israel and restore your kingdom? See, that was the common understanding. And he replied, the Father alone has his authority to set the dates and times. And they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now I think Luke's words here in Acts are very important. These are Jesus' words. And this was during the time of the 40 days that he was with the disciples. And they kept asking, are you going to return? See, in theology circles, it's called the chiliastic expectation, the expectation during their lifetime that Jesus would come back. And they believed that. After a while, they begin to understand the truth of what Jesus was saying, that that's right here. He said, it's not for you to know. And, you know, there's a whole group of people in churches today that try to say, we know when it's going to happen. And if anyone ever says that, they're lying. And then after saying this, Luke describes again that he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Now, Luke digests 40 days, condenses it into just a couple of verses here. In between what Luke was saying that Jesus said, and here, there were quite a few days between that event and now. So when he writes the book of Acts, he said, now we'll see the new adventure. A lot of people, you know, the Acts is given a title. In theology, there people say Acts is the testimony of the early church. Some other people who I think are telling the truth, it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Not it tells about the church, but it's really what the Holy Spirit was doing. Remember, we saw that Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem. Now, that had to have been after the fishermen on the shores of Galilee, because he told them first, to those that witnessed, tell them to meet me in Galilee. So he met them in Galilee, but then after that, he told them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And then notice what happened after the ascension. As they strained to see him rising up to heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. See him in the same way. I wonder if these were the same two angels that met the people at the tomb. He'll come back the same way. So then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. This is a different Judas. This is the son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. So this is the upper room gathering, and that's why Jesus told them to wait there in the upper room. And so they did. And in Acts 2:42, he tells about the time of the church. And it says there, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And you notice the four things that were part of the church fellowship then: the teaching, fellowship, which were meals like we had yesterday. That was a fellowship gathering. The Lord's Supper, which is communion, and prayer. And that's what they met together and did. And those are the four principal things that you'll see as you, if you continue in Luke. But now let's look at what Paul was saying again. In 1 Corinthians 15, which we can highlight and say that it has a title over it called the Chapter of the Resurrection. Now let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. Resurrection chapter. He said, you stand firm in what I told you. You better believe it. And if you believe something else, basically he was saying it's a lie. Anything different is a lie. It was never true to begin with. There's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that need to be said that whatever you said is not true to begin with. You better believe truth. How come common people can understand some of that?
Because we have common sense and the other side doesn't?
Because we choose to believe truth and not deny what the truth is.
Exactly. Exactly.
We also don't read into it in our own ideas of what it is. We take it as it is told.
Exactly. And as we've said yesterday and at other times, if you don't know history, true history, you're going to repeat false lies and repeat it and get into trouble. So anyway, I like this chapter. Continue in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and on. It says, I passed on to you what was most important, and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. That's the truth. And he verified it by the word of truth, the scriptures. The only thing they had at that time before Paul and others wrote was the Old Testament. And so it was just as the scriptures said. And all you have to do is look at scriptures and you see it. So much of this and the truth that is there. And then he said he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of the followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. You know, Paul was giving testimony here of truth and of fact. And he was saying, Peter and the others of the 12, at that point it was 11, but they did elect Matthias to be the 12th, remember? And then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Now, James was his brother, his half-brother, remember? Who wrote the book of James. The one that Luther wanted to throw out. He didn't like it because he says, it's all by faith. James wasn't saying it wasn't by faith. He just said, you're going to see fruit from that faith. And last of all, though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called the apostle after the way I persecuted the church. And then the final question. Have we met him? That's the question we all have to ask. Have we met him? Now, where are we going after this? Two things in my mind that I'm doing. Been thinking positively of the book of Hebrews. But I also been thinking about 1 John. So I might get some things from that too. So we'll see what the Lord directs between now and next Sunday. Where are we going? Eventually to heaven, hopefully.
This question is, have we met him or have you met him? Yes, but sometimes we have to meet him on a regular basis because we are human and we do stupid things. So sometimes we just have to go back and meet him again.
Exactly. And that's the question we all have to ask, isn't it? Have we met him? How about today? And we need to meet him every minute of every day. As we were singing today, I was asking myself this same question. Have I met you right? Can I meet you now? Can I believe everything you say? Yeah. And if we believe everything he says, then his promise is true, absolutely, for all eternity. And he is our creator God, as one of the songs. He is our creator God, the Lord of heaven and earth. And we meet Jesus as a friend and as a brother, but we have to remember that he is God, the creator of it all. That's sort of why I want to move on to the book of Hebrews, where it talks so strongly about him being the creator of it all. So let's say thank you, Lord, for what he has done for us. Thank you, Lord, right? And Lord, allow us each say thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, which is forever. I want to thank you, Lord, and let us thank you here today for your goodness to us, for your blessings to us, for each day that you've given us the breath of life, for the blessings of our nations, for the blessing of our heritage, for the blessing of our family, and all those things that you have provided for us. We want to use all of that to thank you, Lord. For you are good, as you've promised in your word. You are good, and your love lasts forever. So thank you. Thank you for all of that. Now walk with us each day to walk in the footsteps that you have prescribed for us daily to walk in your strength. So we'll thank you. In your name, Lord, amen. Shalom.